Okay, so last week we talked about Jesus, how he was born, like all of us, how he came to earth for us. And this week we're going to be talking about like the relationships that Jesus had. I think what when you think of relationships, what most do you think about?
Like dating.
Dating?
Friendships.
Friendships, yes. But I would say that most of you, when you think of relationship, that's like probably one of the first things that comes to your mind. Boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. You know, you think about it in like a romantic sense. This is not necessarily the real type of friendships. This is like the type of relationships that we're leaning towards this week. Friendships, relationships also come with like parents, mom, dad, teachers. You have a relationship with your teachers, the people that are like around you and in your, a part of your everyday life. So this is kind of the focus where we're going, not in a boyfriend, girlfriend, mom, or husband, wife kind of sense. We're going to talk about the relationships we have with, like, our parents, our siblings, our teachers, our friends, how we interact in these relationships, and how Jesus interacted in these same types of relationships. I want to try to compare Jesus' interactions with, like, ours, and just see, like, how, like, he kind of can relate to us in that sense. So, like, what constitutes, like, you having a relationship with somebody? Like how do you know you have a relationship with them? Go ahead.
Like being close, like talking to them a lot, and like just being active with them.
Yeah. What do you got?
Knowing them personally.
Knowing them personally. Anybody got anything else? Which are not wrong at all. Having a relationship is, yes, you know things about them because you learn things about them. You spend time with them. You know things that they like. I got some cards here. We have a game, and it says, do you really know your family? And these, like, your family, these are people you spend every day with, right? So when I read these off, think about your family. Think about, like, the family members in your house, your brothers, your sisters, your mom and dad. All right? When I read these off, like, think about them. Go ahead.
Do dogs count?
Dogs, if they relate, if this question relates to your dog, if you can tell me your dog's favorite color, I would be impressed.
Gray. Huh?
Yeah. Think about your family when I read these questions off. This is a game that we have in our house. You play it. It's like, how well do you really know your family? How old am I? Most of you probably know the age of your siblings. It's not necessarily for me. How old is your brother?
21.
Yeah. It's in relation to our family. All right. What makes me sad? No, I'm just saying, I'm reading these off. Think about your family. Like, can you answer these questions about your siblings, your parents? All right. What dish do I want to learn how to cook?
Probably like some eggs.
Okay. What is my favorite genre of music? What kind of music do I like to listen to?
Christian.
All right. You got these. None of your answers are wrong, but we're thinking about our family. Like, can you honestly answer these questions about your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad? What is my favorite room in the house? What about their favorite childhood toy?
No. Wait. I have an answer for Elias for that last question.
His bedroom?
The kitchen.
The kitchen? Hey, man, that's a lot of people's. What favorite childhood toy? Favorite day of the year? You know, most people probably say their birthday. There's no answer. I just want you guys to think about it.
Hunting season.
Which actor or actress would I want to meet? If I had to meet somebody, which actor is he? Is he an actor? He is an actor, dude. You're not wrong there, okay? Who is my favorite celebrity? What calms me down when I'm upset? Can you tell me what makes Claire or Jessa just calm? You think about your mom? What makes you, you know, like, can you answer that? Who's my favorite superhero? What was my least favorite subject in school? What is my favorite song? What is my favorite store to shop at? What genre of music do I dislike the most? All those questions, you know, when you think about your family, when you think about the people that you have a relationship with, teachers, friends, all that, like, can you honestly answer those questions? Can you say that you know, like, without a doubt, those, like, the answer to all of those questions? Most of them, probably yes. How old they are, simple stuff like that. But what kind of food they want to cook, what kind of, what their favorite genre of music is, you know?
Childhood toys.
childhood toys, like, you have to really spend some time with somebody to know those things about them. You have to be asking them questions. Like I said, you know things about them because you spend time with them, therefore you have a relationship. In order for Jesus to start his ministry here on earth, he had to meet people. He had to come here and he had to make relationships. Like, he was born, you know, he had to grow up and he had to make relationships. The disciples didn't just, he doesn't just start following him. That, you know, at some point he had to meet them and they had to make a relationship. So let's look at how Jesus met a few of his disciples and see how and they go about meeting each other. How they became, you know, they became to following him. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to read a handful of verses in here. You're there? Raise your hand when you get there. Pop it up. Cameron said it first, so he's going to read these first couple verses for me. But everybody try to get there. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is going through life, you know, he's growing older, he's wanting to start a ministry, just like you guys, you know, but hey. It's lonely. I ain't got no friends. I ain't got helpers, you know. Chapter 4, verses 18 and 20. Cameron, read them for me, please. 18 through 20. 18, 19, 20.
And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You want me to stop at 20?
No, keep reading 20.
And they straight away left their nets and followed
him. He's walking along, sees a couple guys out fishing, Simon Peter and then Andrew. They're fishing, and he just says, hollers out to them, hey, you know, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Yeah, and then in the next verse 20, it says, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. How do you guys go about making your relationships? Well, how do you think that you would fare in that type of situation? Yesterday we had the harvest party. We had a bunch of guests here. Believe that you're walking up to somebody and you're just like, hey, you're my new friend now. Follow me. We're going to play games together. How do you think that would have like went over? How do you think like going up to somebody in public or at a new school or whatever and you just go up to them and you're just like, we're playing together at recess today? Be there, be square. And then they just do that. They just show up. How do you think we would all fare in that type of situation? Think we'd have a lot of friends if we just were like, hey, you know? Yeah, but they did. These guys dropped everything that they were doing and they just followed him. It doesn't tell us why they did this. It doesn't go into detail. We just know that they just dropped what they were doing and they went and they followed Jesus, because that's what it says. Continue reading. Somebody read verses 21 and 22. Go ahead, Oliver.
And going on from hence, he saw another two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them to them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. I bet the father's thinking, what the heck are you doing?
Right? Their dad? They just leave them on the boat, and they're out. They're bound. Yeah. James and John, same situation. He's walking along. These guys are doing what they do every day. They're fishing. Simon Peter and Andrew, they're fishing alone. It doesn't say they're with anybody else, and they just drop what they're doing. I imagine them in reading it that they just pull their boat across up or whatever, and they just leave it on the shore and they just start walking. Because then it goes on to say, and they continue on, and going on from thence, he saw another two brothers. So walks a little bit down the shore, sees John, James, and they're out there with their father Zebedee, and they're fishing, and he, again, hollers out to them, you know, maybe they're a little bit off the bank, and says, hey, follow me. And they're with their dad. And they just drop what they're doing, and they follow him immediately. And immediately they left the ship, and their father, and followed him. Eventually, we would like that's a pretty weird way of meeting people. I don't think we all would have the same luck as Jesus did in making this interaction or making friends, meeting new people. But we know that, you know, obviously he did have luck, and he would eventually grow his disciples to contain the 12. and all of them following Jesus, watching him, learning about him, seeing him perform miracles, and building their relationship with him. Like, we know this. Most of us have been in church long enough that we know about the stories, you know. And the more they followed Jesus, the more time they spent with him, eventually they became not only followers of him, not only like students of his, but they formed friendships. They became close. Some of these disciples would go on to give their life for Jesus. Like a lot of us, our friendships start with like us meeting somebody. You're sitting in class beside a person, and maybe you're joking around, and you both are giggling because, you know, the teacher just wrote 6-7 on the board, and you both think it's funny, so you're like, and you guys like hit it off immediately. And then you guys make plans at lunch. You know, it's first day of school, you're walking through the lunchroom, we've all been there, and you're like, oh man, where am I gonna sit? Who am I gonna sit by? Like, there's somebody, there's gotta be an open chair, and your heart's racing, you know? Cause you're like, you gotta make that good decision. What you got?
In middle school, we have to sit with our class.
You have to sit with your class? Okay, but there's buddies in that class. Like, you don't want to sit by this person. You want to make sure you're sitting by this person. We've all been in that situation before, where you're like, man. So you're walking through the lunchroom, but you had to get to that point where you have your first interaction, where you meet somebody, you figure out that, hey, I like to be around this person. They make me laugh. They're funny, or I don't feel nervous around them. And then you want to spend more time with them. That's how your relationships form. So aside from our friends, though, we have other, like, relationships in life, like teachers and people that we know. More importantly to most of us, our family. We all have our family. And last week we learned that Jesus had a mom and he had a dad, his earthly parents. Does anybody remember their names?
Mary and... Like, Jesus' mom and dad?
Yeah,
Mary and...
Mary and Joseph.
His
earthly parents, yes. Mary and Joseph. He was born of Mary. Joseph was his father. Was Mary's husband, but not his, you know, biological dad. So, Jesus' earthly parents, mother and Joseph, so he had earthly parents. We know this. We learned this last week. He was born. And then we're learning about the disciples here. We learn that he meets and he has followers, these disciples. So we know he has a family, and we know he has friends, just like a lot of us. So, knowing this, we can all probably just assume, right, that Jesus can relate. Like, he knows what it's like to make friends. He knows what it's like to have a mom and a dad. So, we can all assume that Jesus knows what it's like for us to grow up, to have a mom, to have a dad, to have friends. Like, he knows what friendships are like. He lived on earth. Everything that you go through with your friends, all of the things that you go through, whether it be spats or whatever, like, Jesus had to go through stuff like that. So it's safe for us to say that he knows what it's like to live on earth. The major difference, though, is that he was perfect. He didn't sin. So when you spend time with someone, like, you get a close friend, you know, we're going to switch gears here. When you get a close friend, I've seen you guys hung out 2 days in a row now, right? Spent most of the day yesterday together, and you've been, you're here now. Kinley, Adeline, Bailey, you guys are sisters, you spend every day together. But, you know, all your friends, you start spending more and more and more time with them. They start to feel close. You form a type of relationship. I don't know if any of you have this, where you have a friend where you're like, you go to family functions. Thanksgiving's ready to come up. Like, I had friends in high school, like, I would go to their family functions. I would be going to Thanksgiving with a friend, you know? Or Christmas Day, you know, you open your presents and you're like, hey, I'm going down to so-and-so's house. And you're playing with your toys together. And you're spending, like, Christmas Day, not just with your family, but with them. Because the more time you spend with somebody, not only that you have a strong friendship, but they start to feel like family.
We always have, like, one of just our family, then we spend the rest of the day with, like, our family.
Your family?
Like, our cousins and aunts.
Okay, cousins, aunts, and uncles, yes. So the point I'm trying to get to here, though, is we have friendships that we form in life where we are so close to that one person where they start to feel like family to us. And Jesus talks about his friends in a similar manner. Stay in Matthew, but turn over to chapter 12 for me. Matthew chapter 12. And then verses 49 and 50.
There.
Who said there?
I'm there for him.
You already read some for me, though. I'm going to try. I'm trying to popcorn and get some turns. Bailey, do you want to read? Ethan, you can read. And then we got more.
49 and 50.
What?
And he stretched,
right? Yes, and he stretched forth his hand, yes.
Okay. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother.
Bless you. All right, so what does that mean?
He says
he stretched out his hand, all right, in the context, he's speaking to a crowd. And they're saying, he's talking to them, and he stretches out his hand, and he says, and he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples, and he said, Behold my mother and my brethren. My brethren. You know, they're just disciples. These are his friends. But he says, Brethren, my brothers. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and my mother. So what does that say? Let's read it again. For whomsoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. What is he saying?
His family's dead.
No. For whosoever will do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother or my sister or my mother. What he's saying is...
people are saved, so those people become their brothers.
Yes, they're doing the will of God. You know, when we're doing things for Jesus, he's telling that whoever's following God, whoever's obeying God, they're in relationship with Him, you know? Like us, we're all going to church. Yesterday we were all here working for the harvest party. When we got done, within an hour we had the entire building completely like put back together like nothing ever even happened. If you weren't here yesterday, other than me saying it right now, when you walk into that sanctuary, you probably wouldn't even be able to know that we had 300 people in there playing games, throwing axes, popcorn all over the floor, inside.
No way!
When you walk through the building, you probably wouldn't know that. Why? Because brothers and sisters, us, all of us serving God, were able to just in 1 hour get everything put back together, like nothing ever happened. So the friendships, our friendships and the relationships, our family relationships, all that is important. Like, we don't want to diminish any of that. They're important to us. God wants us to, we gotta have those types of relationships. But the most important relationships that we can have in our life are those that are built around God. I don't know about you guys, but like at the end of the day, I want to be in God's family. I love my family. I love my family to death. But I know that I want to be in God's family. So last week, we talked about the birth of Jesus, how he was a human like us, he was born, all of those things. But we also talked about that he lived, why he came here. God came here to die for our sins. He lived a perfect life to that. Guys, please.
He just spilled water all over me.
All right, give me like 5 more minutes. Get it cleaned up. Try not to be a distraction. And then give me 5 more minutes. Okay. So last week we talked about sin, and we learned sin is all the things that we do wrong. It's like telling lies, stealing from somebody, bullying another person, etc. We all know what sin is, right? Can you guys raise your hand? You guys know what sin is? Do you know what it means to sin, to do something bad, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to make sure you're tracking with me here. And every time that we do these things, we're falling short of being the person that God wants us to be. God wants us all to be holy. He wants us all to be good people. He doesn't want us to be lying and stealing and bullying people. So every time that we sin, we're falling short of what God wants us to be as a person. We're not acting how God wants us to act. But like we also learned last week, Jesus came here because he knew. He knew that we were... He knew that we could not live a perfect life. He knew that we could not abstain from sin. So Jesus had to come here and die on the cross because he knew that we couldn't die to our flesh. He came, he died for us to give us a fresh start. The fresh start would be by following God. The disciples are great examples of this because none of them were perfect. They all made mistakes too. So We're going to learn about one more relationship that God made, and then we'll wrap it up. Turn to Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13, we're going to read. Because we found out how he met the four disciples. We're gonna learn about how he reads the author of this book. What book? Who do you think the author of this book is? Yeah. It's the name. This is how Jesus comes to know Matthew. This is the guy writing the book, okay? Chapter 9, alright? Verse 9. Bailey? 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 9 through 13.
Pharisees saw it. They said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that behold me not a physician,
yep.
But they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous but sinners to be
saved. Okay. For the next couple minutes, we're going to break this down, what it's saying here. In the beginning, we see that Jesus passed forth from thence and saw a man named Matthew. He's walking along just like before. He sees Matthew and he says to him, he's sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said forth unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Matthew was a tax collector. He's sitting at the receipt of custom. This is where Jews go to pay their taxes to the Romans. He's a tax collector. In this time, tax collectors were hated. They're collecting money from the Jews. So he's a Jew collecting money from the Jews to pay the Romans. And if you don't have a lot of money, you don't like giving your money away, you know? In the very next passage, you know, Matthew stops what he's doing and he follows Jesus. We know this, just like the other instances we learned about earlier. But then it goes on to say in the next passage, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. So Matthew drops what he's doing. They're eating dinner now. This is the next scene we're in. They're eating. They're at a table, and he's sitting with publicans and sinners. All of these are people that are disliked in this time. Sinners, not good people. Publicans, people that are disliked. And it says in verse 11, and the Pharisees, and when the Pharisees, do you guys know what a Pharisee is? What are they? Tell me.
They were the priests at the time?
Yes, religious people. People that think they are more holy than everybody else. They are religious leaders, or the religious people in this time. And so they see Jesus, he's sitting, he's eating with a bunch of sinners, and they call him out. And they say, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? You're such a holy, righteous person, why are you eating with publicans and sinners? And then Jesus comes back at him, he snaps back, and he's like, let me explain myself, you know, by providing them an example of what he's doing. And he says, when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You know what that means? When do you go to the doctor? Go ahead.
Whenever you're healthy, you don't need to go to the doctor. Only sick people should go.
Only sick people. You're not at the doctor's office when you're feeling good. Only when you're feeling sick. So God's like, Jesus is like, hey, you don't go to the doctor when you feel good. You go to the doctor when you're sick. All right? He's sitting with publicans. He's sitting with sinners. And then in verse 13, he said, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What does that mean? Jesus isn't here for all the people that think they're holy. He's not here for the religious people. He's not here for the people that are doing good. He came here for sinners, people that are doing wrong. And not, as we already know, no one is doing good. No one is perfect. No one can live a sinless, sin-free life. He says, I am not here to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Basically he's saying, I'm not on earth for the holy. I am here for the sinners and the lost. The only way that you're going to get to know and have a relationship with the lost, the only way Jesus is going to get to know the people he's coming to save, spending time with them. eating dinner with them. Like, having a relationship with them. That's why he's eating dinner with Matthew, who is a tax collector. That's why they're eating with people that are lost. This is exactly what he does for us. He calls us into a relationship with him. Even though we lie, even though we always aren't nice to our parents, we don't always do what is right. Jesus desires to know us the same way. He knows we're not perfect people. He knows we're not, we all struggle with something. We all do something. We all, every now and then, we're picking on somebody at school. We're up to no good. We're not living a sin-free life. So earlier in the lesson, I asked you, how do you get to know and have a relationship with somebody? The answers we got, spending time with them, getting to know them, asking them questions. And I read the cards off, and most of us, you knew some of the answers about your family, but you didn't know all of them, And these are people that you spend every day with. He isn't, here now, walking around with us. God's not walking around, or Jesus isn't walking around now. We can't have a relationship with him now. So in order for us to get to know him, know who he was, what he did for us, what he expects from us, how he wants us to act, how he wants us to live our lives. How do we do that? How do you have a relationship with God now? Praying is one way, but it's not the main way,
It's like talking.
Talking to him. But what does he give us?
Bible.
The Bible. Gives us the Bible. We have to be reading this. I charged you guys, last week when we started this series, just to read in Matthew. Matthew is literally about the life, like we're learning about Jesus. We're learning about his life. The easiest way to get to know somebody is to spend time with them. Read about them. Read about his life. Read about what he did, why he was here on earth. Read about why he did what he was doing. That's it. It's simple. Just read your Bible. I know we say this a lot over and over and over again, and it might get redundant, but we all need a reminder. That's what we come to church for. It's like we don't come to church... we come to church just to refresh, to get renewed, to take everything that we went through all week at school and everything else and just kind of brush it off and then spend some time with God. Spend some time opening the book, getting into the Word, all right? But this isn't the only time that we can be spending in our Bible. We need to be doing this throughout the week. We have to be in the Word. We need to be reading. And that's the only way we're going to get to know about Jesus and about his life. That's the best place to start. I promise you guys... Jesus desires for us to have a relationship with him. And I don't know about you guys, but I too desire to have a relationship with him. So, Link, can you pray us out? Or did you pray last week? I don't think you did. You can pray us out. And then we will get inside.